In studio with us today, Matthew Gamble, a candidate for House of Representatives, District 15. And we're going to have a conversation about his candidacy and ask a few questions and hopefully help inform our listeners about you, Matthew. Welcome to our studio.
Well, thank you, Ernestine, for having me. It's great to be with you today.
I want to begin by allowing you to kind of make an opening statement to tell us about you.
All right. Well, for starters, I am Matthew Gamble, and I'm running for the State House District 15 seat that is currently held by Paul Battles. Paul is retiring, and so the seat is open. I announced my candidacy in September, and we have been campaigning at different levels on and off since then, but especially here lately, it's definitely picked up. I've grew up here in this community, and I'm so proud to be from Cartersville in Bartow County. I'm a graduate of Cartersville High School. I went on to attend Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is in between Chattanooga and Knoxville, where I got a degree in political science. I'm married to Danae Gamble, Danae Roberts Gamble. She's originally from Columbus, Georgia, and we have three children, Mary Harris, who is 9 years old, David, who's 7 years old, and James, who is 24 months old.
Oh, wow.
So it's busy at our house, but we are loving being in Cartersville, raising a family, working here, and enjoying the wonderful community that we all are so proud of here.
Okay. You do have opposition on the upcoming May 22nd ballot, and I want to start by asking you, what separates you from the other candidate?
Wow. Well, that's a great question, and I would just say that people that know me, that have helped raise me, if you will, the people that have grown up in this community and watched me as I've lived here and been a part of the things that go on here in Bartow County, they know the kind of person that I am. They've seen me at church. They've seen me involved with the civic groups and our nonprofit community. And they know the kind of character and the kind of reputation that I have. And if they don't know me, they may know some of my family members that have been extremely involved here in Cartersville and Bartow County, really going all the way back to the 1920s, which is when my grandfather first moved to Cartersville. The Harrises were originally from Gilmer County, just up the road from here. And my grandfather and his mother and siblings came here to work in the Goodyear Mill. And they came here because it was hard to live in Gilmer County and farm, and there were jobs were scarce. So they came to Goodyear and established roots. My grandfather was a hard worker. He had a strong work ethic, and he was just a fine man. And he worked there up until the 1940s. He didn't have any formal education beyond seventh grade. And he realized that if he was going to succeed, he was going to have to do something different because he had gotten as far in the mill as he could go without formal education. And so he started a cement business, and that was Harris Cement Products that he ran with my two uncles, Fred and Joe Frank Harris, from that point on in the 40s all the way up until 1980 when they sold. But, you know, I go back to that so much because he was a huge influence on my life. I rode all around this county as a kid in the pickup truck, and I got to hear some of the great stories about how we've come so far in so many ways and on so many different issues, and we've grown, and there's so much development that we're starting to see that I think is the benefit of a lot of the work that so many people contributed through the years. We're really starting to reap that. So that's kind of who I am, and I love this community and have deep roots here. And so we've been talking about that on the campaign trail. I'm not new. I'm not planning to go anywhere. I've never run for political office before, which I think is a good thing. Now, I have grown up around the process, and I've watched closely through the years, and I've gotten to experience a lot of the political process, but I've never been a candidate before. This is my first time to run for office. So I think that's some of the big differences that you will find in between myself and my opponent.
Okay. And as you said, you announced fairly early in the process, and I'm sure you've had time to consider this next question, which is, what would your top priorities be if you're elected?
Yeah. So education and workforce is something that I'm very interested in naturally for several reasons. when I was a student coming through the Cartersville City School System, I had the opportunity to have a lot of different experiences that have helped to shape me and prepare me and kind of help me be the person I am today. And one of those experiences that I value the most is when I was at Cartersville High School. I took graphic arts when I was in the 10th and 11th grade. And I had Chuck Cartwright, who was the teacher at that time. And it was a wonderful experience. And so I learned a skill set. And I've always told people that had I graduated from high school and wanted to go straight to work, that I probably could have gone down to the Tribune or to local ad company and gotten a job in design of some kind and done that for a career just based off those skills that I learned when I was in graphic arts. Now, I did go on to get a college degree, and that was a valuable experience, but I still use those graphic arts skills in my job today. And that is really, to me, one of the greatest values of technical-oriented education. And so I want to continue to work with our school systems. And, you know, we have the Bartow County College and Career Academy. But we also have a lot of career and technical education programs at Cartersville, Cass, Adairsville, and Woodland. And so making sure that the business community is engaged in those programs, and whether that's mentoring, whether that's donating equipment, whether that's providing externships or internships for students to work or for teachers to come out into industry and to see firsthand some of the things that businesses are dealing with or that they need their help teaching in the schools to the students. I'm very interested in that conversation, making sure that as we grow and we've got so many incentives for people to come and do business here in Bartow County, but making sure that we've got the workforce to back it up, and we've got a great foundation that I think we can continue to build on and expand even more. So that's a big priority for mine.
Okay. I want to ask you about an issue that it was highlighted here in Bartow County in January. And that is the question of marijuana, mm-hmm. either medical marijuana or I'm not sure if you call it recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on that? I know that the legislature has tackled that issue. I don't know if we as residents know where it stands. I know it's illegal. Mm-hmm. In some counties, however, they are making it a fine if you mm-hmm. have less than an ounce of marijuana. And we saw that issue blow up in January when we had 70 people arrested at a house party. All arrested for less than an ounce of marijuana. Many were upset because I believe in Cobb County, it's a fine, and you go on. Mm-hmm. Here in Bartow County, it's jail time. So what are your thoughts mm-hmm. on legalization of marijuana? And again, as I said, I'm not even sure where we stand in terms of medical marijuana here in the state. Who has access
right.
to that?
That's an interesting question. I'll be completely honest with you. I've been out on the campaign trail. I have not had a single person come up to me and talk to me about marijuana or medical marijuana. But now that doesn't mean that there isn't interest there, that it's not important. I remember well Representative Alan Peek is the gentleman who has championed medical marijuana. And I remember well that process, watching, reading, and hearing about that as it worked through the legislative process in Atlanta. I think, honestly, what we're butting up against, the biggest challenge, is that the federal government still classifies marijuana as a controlled substance. And so there's the federal issue there that no matter what we do in Georgia, until the feds change their position, that's the catch. Because with medical marijuana, I believe that it's legal to possess the oil, but it's not legal to manufacture it in the state of Georgia. And so you have this big dilemma of how do I get it?
Right.
And so people aren't getting it legally.
Right.
Okay. Now, I saw the children that benefit and the people that benefit, because it's not just children. I think it was children that we saw focused on most at the beginning of that change. But now we're starting to hear a lot more from veterans and folks that deal with post-traumatic stress disorder and all types of stuff. I think we need to be very careful. And again, going back to the federal regulations, until there's more change there, it's really hard to continue to try and do things in Georgia until we really know what the federal government is going to do. I did go to Colorado back in January, and I kind of saw what's going on in Colorado. Which is very interesting. And you drive down the road in Colorado, and literally our whole drive there from where we were at to the airport and back, You see a lot of different shops that have opened up selling marijuana. And so it's very interesting. I'm keeping a close eye on it and just kind of making sure that I am trying to understand and listen to what the issue is. But the federal challenge is from what I gather, the biggest obstacle that we still have when it comes to medical marijuana. And then for recreational use, you know, I think that it's it goes right along with some of the other concerns that, you know, you could say with the opioid crisis and just drug abuse in general. And I don't care what drug or what means it is that you are using that would hurt you in your ability to make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. I think that it's incumbent upon all of us to come together and try to make sure that we are encouraging a culture that is not dependent on substances for whatever that is. So I don't know if I answered your question specifically, but I'm trying to listen and understand as much as possible, and I'm curious as probably we all are to see what's going to happen next with that.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've got a question that's forming in my head, Matthew, so it may come out in a weird way, but I want it to make sense. And it goes back to what you were talking about with your family and your grandfather saying, I want to advance. I'm here. I moved here for this reason, but I want to advance. And the first part of my question or my comment, I guess, is that the governor said we are a state that's open for business and business has progressed under his leadership. However, there are some in our community who say the wages aren't keeping up with the cost of living. Mm-hmm. And so is there anything that the legislator can't legislate that the assembly, the Georgia General Assembly, can or should do to help families to advance? I mean, do you see that as an issue or people talking about that in terms of wage stagnation and being able to afford for families to be able housing, child care, health care?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there's a lot of conversation about tax credits and incentives to encourage people to start businesses and to pursue entrepreneurship. Going back to what I talked about a minute ago with technical education, one of the other pathways within career and technical education is marketing. Within marketing falls entrepreneurship. What are we doing in our schools to encourage students to consider themselves or to pursue young entrepreneurs? If we can get business people involved in our schools and taking an active role and mentoring students to help encourage them in that way, many of those students, they don't even know the jobs that are out there. And so that's, again, something that I'm very interested in supporting and being a part of is that education. I think that's a huge part of the issue that you asked me about. Now, as far as wages keeping up with cost of living increases, you know, that's certainly something that we all probably feel the pinch from. I mean, I know everybody's dollar seems to go a little bit shorter these days, and I get so disheartened when I get my notice from the cable company that my cable rates are going up again and all the different costs of living increases that we incur. And it is challenging to figure out how to be a good steward of resources. Again, I go back to education. I think if we have opportunities for our young people especially to learn life skills within these technical programs, how to balance a checkbook. I know nobody has a checkbook anymore, but you still have to maintain a bank account if you're going to run your household. And so how do you deal with that? Financial literacy. And there's a lot of different courses that are available that I think that if we promote and encourage, we can get on top of some of that to address these issues in our community.
Okay. So education, you feel, is the answer to that, man?
A big part of it, yes.
Okay. My next question is regarding the issue. This is schools, but unfortunately, this is the issue that keeps making the news. Our children are afraid to go to school. Mm-hmm. And that is, do you have any ideas of making schools safer? I know here in Bartow County, the school system can choose whether or not to arm the teachers.
Right.
But as a legislator, what would your ideas be towards keeping our schools and children safer?
Well, it hits home close to me. I've got two children that are in public school, and I, you know, the first thing that I do, I'm I'm a big proponent of faith, and I'm a Christian, and I pray for them every day before they go to school. And we do live in challenging times, and it is disheartening to see some of the things that are going on, not only in our country but around the world, the violence and the different things that we see talked about so much. As far as what we do here in Bartow County in Cartersville, and I've had a lot of folks talk to me about school safety. It's on everyone's mind right now. There's two things I want to mention that just happened that I think will help in the near future. And then long term, there's some other things that we can do. But the legislature just approved $16 million in school safety grants that school systems will be able to apply for that will help them purchase in the planning process for improving school safety or increasing the resources that they have to prevent anything dangerous from happening on school property. Those grants will be available to school systems at the beginning of the fiscal year, which is July 1. So I think that's a good thing that schools that our schools here, Bartow and Cartersville, can take advantage of is those grants. And I would be more than interested and helpful to our school superintendents and our school boards as they pursue trying to get any of that funding that is available. The other thing that I think is going to help is there is a study committee that the state legislature, the House of Representatives, passed that will focus on school safety. They have their first meeting on May the 14th. I would love to attend that meeting, but I'm campaigning, and I'm going to be tied up here in our community going to the different things that I have to go to and door knocking and all that with this campaign. But it's something that I'm paying close attention to because they are bringing in, through the series of their meetings that will occur from May through probably the later part of the year, they're bringing in all the different people that have ownership in school safety, and that's not just law enforcement. That is also school counselors, school social workers, school psychologists, and others that are parents, students, others that have a vested interest. So I think that's going to be good because I think that we will hear some things that maybe we haven't thought of or consider some different strategies that we haven't thought about through that study committee. I'm paying very close attention to that, and they will produce a report at the conclusion of their meetings that we'll all have access to. So it's public record, and I'm going to read that report to see kind of the summary of what they're looking at. I'm also very attuned into our school boards and what their discussion is about school safety. I know that they have plans in place. Some of their plans don't necessarily need to be discussed in a public setting because the last thing that you want to do is to, I guess, reveal your hand to any predators that might be out there, any individuals that might be considering something of that magnitude. So I know that there's a lot of things in place. There's panic buttons in our schools. I think we're all trying to avoid turning our schools into maximum security mm-hmm. facilities because that is something that it's just hard to think about schools having to be. We don't want to do that. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to be vigilant and to prevent an incident here in our community. And so striking that balance, I plan to do a lot of listening to what parents are saying and what the voters are saying, working with our school board to try to come up with solutions that we can implement here that will help us. So that's kind of where I'm at on school safety, but it's definitely something that everyone is really taking a close look at right now.
Just out of curiosity, many of these shooters, there appear to have been mental health issues mm-hmm. Behind their motives or just an issue with that. Has that been a part of your conversation or your consideration in terms of funding more mental health at the Capitol?
Yeah. I want to make sure and work with others to make sure that folks that are dealing with mental health issues are not the ones that end up with guns in their hands, making sure that criminals are not the ones that end up with guns in their hands. Now, I do have the highest rating from the NRA in my campaign, and I am a proponent of the Second Amendment and Second Amendment rights. So I do value gun ownership and think that it's something that is important and we need to protect. But with that said, working to make sure, again, that with the School Safety Study Committee that's meeting, that we're looking at all the options on the table. As far as arming teachers, you know, it is really a local decision for our school systems to decide if they want to do that. There are veterans who teach that might be a good place to look. We have JROTC instructors in many of our schools here in our state, and in Bartow County we do for sure. Those are types of folks that might be willing or might be a good place to start if we're thinking about that. But yes, we really need to be doing something to address that, to make sure that we're being proactive rather than reactive.
You mentioned the NRA. So is there room for discussion about changing gun laws at all for you?
Well, in what way?
Well, some people feel that there needs to be stronger gun laws, waiting periods, and I'll be honest, I'm not well-versed on mm-hmm. on what all the gun laws are. And also, I know there's an issue of bump stocks for guns, which I think makes a gun act as like a shoot faster. Mm-hmm. So and that's my question, is there any room for discussion of any of that for you if you're elected?
Well, no, not really. And again, like I said, this is not a gun issue. This is a heart issue. Mm-hmm. And that's the big problem. And that's where I think that when we get people around the table, people that are represented from the mental health community, those that are in law enforcement, those who are active in our community, and try to figure out how we can work together to come up with ways to protect ourselves, that's where the real solutions are going to come from. And, you know, there is a fixation on the gun. And how to regulate that and how to control that. There's no law that you can pass that will prevent some of the things that are going on from happening. This is really a heart issue. And again, I went back to a minute ago talking about being a person of faith and a Christian. It is something that I think that Christians in our community definitely we need to be praying about. And I know many are, but it's a heart issue.
Okay. I think the General Assembly has been dealing with religious liberty legislation these mm-hmm. past couple of sessions. Mm-hmm. And so have you given any thought to that? And I think that seems to be butting against the business community and what the business community's goals are. Yeah. And so moving forward, would you want to progress religious liberty legislation, or do you feel that it kind of interferes with what the state is trying to accomplish in terms mm-hmm. of business goals?
Well, the state has done a wonderful job under the leadership of the governor for the past 5 years, be the number one place to do business, according to Site Selection magazine. And that's something that I think we all should be very proud of. And there's a lot of different reasons for why we're getting that attention and why it is that way. And I hope that we can continue to lead in that area. I am a proponent of religious liberty and don't want to see anybody compromised for their faith. At the same time, I want to look at any legislation that's proposed in that area so that I can be as informed and understand. I mentioned a minute ago, I've never been elected before, but any legislation of that magnitude, I would really want to look at and understand fully to make sure that I was on the right track or making the right decision. My faith guides me. People in this community know me, and I trust them. To come to me as anything like that is being discussed and to talk to me about the real issues and how it could impact our state. But job growth, job creation, education, workforce development, those are all issues that I'm very interested in. And again, going back to my family's history in this community, you know, I mentioned my granddad coming from nothing and valuing education. He was on the Cartersville City School Board. He also spent a lot of time paying for trips to meet with businesses to recruit them to come to Cartersville and Bartow County. A lot of the textile industry and a lot of the mills that were here back in the 50s and 60s. The reason he paid for that and others, there were other people that did the same thing. We didn't have economic development at that time. There was no funding for it. Now we have Melinda Lemon. Melinda does a great job, and we have a counterpart in every community across the state that in some way or fashion works with economic development.
Right.
But at that time, there was no funding for that. And so you literally had people that self-financed because they saw the greater benefit to doing that if they could recruit a company to come here and create those jobs and provide the facilities, the construction, all the different things that would benefit our community from doing that. So it's something that I'm just naturally interested in promoting that culture of growth and success is something I'm very interested in.
I've asked you quite a few questions that, you know, run the gamut. Are there any issues that you want to raise that I haven't asked you about? Have you had an opportunity to fully express who you are as a candidate?
Yeah. Well, when I'm out door knocking, I get a lot of questions about federal issues that I really don't have any ability, or I wouldn't have any ability if I got elected, to do anything about.
Right.
Whether that's term limits in Washington or, just all kinds of stuff. And so I listen and I try to understand where folks are coming from, and, you know, we're all keeping up with it. But as far as things that I might actually have the ability to influence in this position, the number one thing that I've been talked to on the campaign trail since I got in September and up to now is a senior property tax exemption.
Mm-hmm.
I get hit with that almost every single day, and it's from a very wide range of people. That is a tough issue in many ways. I'm a parent. I have school-age children, and I'm a taxpayer. I think we all, because of the growth in Bartow County, have seen property tax bills go up, and I write my check every November and take it down to the courthouse to the Steve Stewart's office. And, you know, every year property taxes are rising, which is good because one day we'll see the benefit of that if I sell my house. But, you know, it's tough to see increases. But I know our seniors are definitely asking for some relief. The counties that are around us, Cobb, Cherokee, and Paulding, all have a variation, some form of a senior school tax exemption of some kind. And so I'm committed to trying to find a way to give our seniors some relief that is as minimally invasive to our school systems and their budgeting process. And I don't support 100% exemption like what they've got in Cobb County. When you turn 65 in Cobb County, you get 100% exemption from school tax. But I do support trying to do something that will give some relief, whether that's a tiered system. When you turn 62, you get a certain percentage, and when you turn 70 or 72, you get another percentage. And I will sit down with our local elected officials, our school systems, and I will hopefully contribute to a conversation about what can we do that will give seniors a little bit of relief and help with this issue, because I have had so many people approach me about it. Now, there's some question about, you know, should it be allowed as a referendum on the ballot and just let people vote mm-hmm. to see? I would support that. Now, the thing about that is that you still would have to describe what kind of incentive or what kind of exemption you were going to give. So we still have to have this conversation, even if every voter went out and said, we do want a senior property tax exemption. So that's kind of where I'm at, but I've talked to a lot of people about it. I'm committed to trying to do something, and again, making sure that it's as minimally invasive to our school systems, even if we phased it in over a 3 or 4 year period of time. You know, the time is good right now to try to do something like that because the economy is doing well, the unemployment rate is relatively low. Our school systems have just received this year for the first time in many years the restoration of the austerity cuts that came in 2003 through the QBE funding formula. So I won't say that everything is just perfect, but I would say that now is a pretty good time. If we're going to talk about it, now would be a good time to do it. And so hopefully I'll have the willingness of others that will want to sit down and look at that. I would only be one of five voices that has to come together as far as the legislature is concerned and figure this out, because it takes our delegation here in Bartow County to address this issue through legislation. So I have great relationships with all of them, and I talk to them fairly often, some of them more than others, but we all are on good standing and communicating. And I think that they're smart enough for us to get around the table and try to figure out something.
That's a big discussion right now. I just had an opportunity to speak with John Howard and Tony Ross, mm-hmm. and that seems to be a big part of their campaigns as well.
Absolutely, yep.
Well, we've spoken for about 30 minutes. I want to wind up with having you have the final say here.
Okay. Well, I would just encourage everyone listening and everyone that might have the opportunity to listen between now and May the 22nd, whether you know me or you don't, please visit my website, which is www.votegamble.com. Please email me, which is matthew@votegamble.com, or you can call me on my cell phone, 770-655-0046. I would love to talk to you if I hadn't knocked on your door yet. If you haven't gotten a sign and you want a sign, please let me know. I've had a lot of people that have said, we don't have a sign, bring us a sign. But please check me out. Don't just take my word for it. Ask other people in this community that know me, that have known me my entire life, or that know of me. And I think that as you do your due diligence to understand who I am and why I'm running and why this would be something that I would put myself out there for, that I'm the better candidate in this race, and that I'm someone that will represent our community with distinction, with honor and fidelity. Whether I'm in Atlanta or wherever I may be in the state of Georgia for whatever meeting or conference or whatever I may have to attend as a responsibility if I was to be elected to this position, I will continue to do that in a way that will reflect favorably upon our community, just like all of my other influences in my life, so many people that have helped raise me have had on me. I want to continue that legacy of leadership. So thank you for the opportunity to be with you, Ernestine. Appreciate your work. Appreciate WBHF and the great job that you do as a local radio station. And I just encourage everyone to get out and vote.
Well, thank you. And thanks for helping to inform our listeners.
Absolutely.